Hello and welcome to our program today as we study from God's Word. We're glad that you are tuning in. We hope that you'll get a Bible and you'll turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to read a verse in chapter 27 first, and then we're going to go to chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles. We're glad that you're with us today, and we want to study some of the history of the kings of Israel. God established a nation. They were known as Israel, the children of Israel. Israel, of course, was the name given to Jacob. He was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. And it is through these descendants that God would bring forth a Savior into the world. That's really the main theme of the Bible. God's going to bring a Savior into the world. And that Savior would come through the lineage of Abraham and also of David. But this nation that God used became an evil nation. Could God bring forth a Savior from an evil nation? Well, he did. And we want to read a part of that history in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles today. And so the kings of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, were all descendants of David. Some of them were good kings and some of them were bad kings. And even though some were good kings, the nation still did evil. Now we're going to talk about Ahaz mainly, but Ahaz was the son of Jotham. And we read about him in 2 Chronicles 27. Verse 1 says, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now the king was good, but the people were not good. The people were still corrupt. So when Jotham died in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 9, and Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, we want to talk about Ahaz a little bit today. And so we're going to talk about how evil he was. And then we're going to turn to the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to see that the prophet Isaiah, during these good kings and evil kings, it spoke the great message of salvation. He preached the gospel in the Old Testament. Let's begin studying about Ahaz in chapter 28, and we're just wanting to learn how evil this nation had become. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. So he was an idolater. That was the trouble with God's people. They got into the awful and false doctrines of idolatry. And here's how evil it becomes. We're in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. This is how evil people can become. They offer their children as burnt sacrifices to their gods. We live in a like society where, for the god of convenience, unborn children are killed, and they call that abortion. Women have abortions because they don't want to take care of the children. They don't want another child. They want to commit immorality. They want to commit fornication and adultery. But they do not want to deal with the consequences. Now, in the ancient times of these idolaters, they just took their children and burnt them in fire as offerings to their gods. They were pagans. Verse 4 says, he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Well, how did God feel about that? Well, we don't have to wonder very long, because 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 5 says, wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And so if you want to serve idols, you're going to go serve in the nations where idols are worshipped. You're going to be given as captives to idolatrous nations. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. And so the people were evil, the king was evil, and they were slaughtered. There's a sowing and there's a reaping. You sow to the flesh and you shall of the flesh reap corruption, the Bible says in Galatians 6, 7 and 8. And so they were smitten with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, this is the king of Israel, their kinfolks with Judah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. That was the reason. They experienced death and they experienced captivity because of their sins. Now, God is showing us here that there are consequences to sin. You're not going to sow a seed and not reap a harvest. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind, God would say through the prophets. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son. And Azrikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to the king. People started dying around the king. They were slaughtered. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and hath slain them with a rage that reacheth up into heaven. God had delivered them into their hand, but they went overboard in killing people. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Israel was a sinful nation as well. They were worshiping idols. Judah was worshiping idols. They both were plagued with the same kinds of sin, and that's what Oded brought out. And so he says in verse 11, now hear me therewith, and deliver the captives again which you have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. They were idolaters. They had golden calves set up at Dan and Bethel. And so even though they conquered Judah, they were just as guilty. The certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, and Berechiah, the son of Meshillemoth, Jehazekiah, and of Shalom, and Amasa, the son of Hadaliah, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, you shall not bring in the captives hither. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already. You intend to add more to our sins and to our trespasses, for our trespasses are great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. God wants us to know that you can sin if you want to, but God's going to make you answer. He's going to hold you responsible for your sins. And that's what these men were saying to Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives with the spoil, clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon donkeys, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. So they treated the people right. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. That's what was going on all the time during these ancient times. They would pay other nations to come over and help them when they got into trouble. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. God was allowing their enemies to overcome them. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country in the south of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gederoth and Shoko and the villages thereof and Timnah and the villages thereof, Gimzo also and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And so God brought them down low because of their tremendous trespasses. Then dropping down to verse 24, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. You know, these people just wouldn't learn, would they? God was trying to punish them and chasten them for their sins of idolatry, but they just kept on going. And in every several city, this is verse 25, of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto their gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. And so Ahaz was an evil king, burned his children as sacrifices. God sent punishing forces to try to get them to repent, but they would not. Now, let's turn over to the book of Isaiah now. This is one of the great preachers that God raised up to preach to the people during this time. Notice Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, we've been reading about Ahaz. Look at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And so this is what God wanted them to hear. He wanted them to hear this preaching. And so this is the message of Isaiah. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." That's really the history of man. God has created man. And what did man do? Because of his free moral agency and because of the devil, man rebelled against God, even Adam and Eve. And the generation of Noah's day, they rebelled against God. And God had made them and created them. Then he says in verse 3 of Isaiah 1, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Even a donkey and an ox knows where to get his food. They know where they're fed. They know their master. Even a dumb animal knows where his blessings come from, but men do not seem to know as much as a dumb animal. They do not consider where all of their good blessings come from. And so he called them a sinful nation in verse 4. Oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. They are backslidden people. And so this is what God says to an evil nation, to an evil king. He says, you're backsliding. You don't even know as much as the animals know. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You know, 120,000 people died in one day. People were carried away as captives. Why do you put yourself into this? You will not revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. And this is God's picture of Judah. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You're sick, spiritually sick, and you're doing nothing about it. You've got these spiritual sores and wounds, and they're festered, and you're not even taking care of that. You know, think about your own life. What kind of spiritual shape is your soul in? Have you been feeding it? If you've not been feeding it, your spiritual man inside of your physical man is shriveling up. He's dying. And we need to take care of our inward man. And if we're involved in sin, we're sick. We've got a sickness that needs to be cured. And as a result of their sin and vile and evil ways, Isaiah 1:7 says, your country is desolate. There had been many people killed, thousands upon thousands, and carried away captive. They'd been carried away into Syria. They'd been carried into other countries. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. That's the message of Isaiah. Look at what is happening to you. You're in pitiful condition. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Of course, those cities were wiped off the map. There is no trace of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah even to this very day. We can only guess at where their locations might have been. And so that same thing would have happened to Jerusalem, except God had mercy upon them. There was a remnant left of them. Now here's the reason why God left a remnant. It's because this is the people that God's going to bring a Savior into the world through them. And he says as much in Isaiah 7. Matter of fact, he speaks to Ahaz about this. Look at Isaiah 7 in verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. You know why they couldn't prevail against it? Because God wouldn't allow that. But here's what God had to say to them. He says in verse 13 of Isaiah 7, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. And that's how God was going to bring Christ into the world, through this nation, through the descendants of this nation. And also in this great book, we have other passages about the church being established, such as Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. But we have the great passage of Isaiah 53 about the suffering Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he would come into the world and die for the sins of the world. This was spoken to that evil nation that was sick from the head to the toe. Even though they were enveloped in sin, God was still going to send a Savior into the world. That's the theme of the Bible. And so in Isaiah 53, it says in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he," that's Jesus Christ, "shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." When Christ was hanging upon the cross, there was no beauty there that we should desire him. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Isn't that beautiful? Ahaz was a wicked king. He lived and ruled over a wicked people. God punished him for his wickedness. He punished him with other evil nations, slaughtered many, but he left a remnant. Even a sinful nation, God used that sinful nation to bring forth his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. This is the marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. What a magnificent account we have in God's word of how these events came to pass through a nation that God had established. But this nation was a backslidden nation after time, and yet God still used these descendants to bring Jesus Christ into the world. What a wonderful God we have. What a powerful God, an all-knowing and wise God that we have that can do such things. I hope this has piqued your interest in the Word of God to study it more and to see that Isaiah was preaching to people during the days of the kings mentioned in Isaiah 1 and verse 1. And he had a great message, a message of the gospel, a message of salvation. We're thankful for that message because we are saved by this wonderful gospel. And I hope that if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the child that was born through the seed of Abraham and through the seed of David, that died on the cross 2,000 years ago for our sins, I hope you'll listen to Jesus when he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." I hope you'll do that, dear friend, if you haven't already. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to this great message from the Old Testament. May God bless you. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network and learn the good lessons that are taught therein. Thank you and good day.